Today's reading from Exodus 3, verses 1 to 15, Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Amen.
Again, join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come now to hear your word preached, we ask that your Holy Spirit would fall on us just now. Lord, like you met Moses at the burning bush, would you meet us here on this holy ground? Would you speak to every person who feels disqualified or not enough? Would you let us hear you say, I will be with you? O God, stir up again your calling in our lives and let this message transform us and set us free. We give you all the glory, all of the honour, and all of the praise. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt paralysed by your past? Have you ever looked at your past failures and thought, that's it, I've disqualified myself from serving God? Have you ever heard God's whisper in your heart, calling you to do something, but your immediate response was to list all of the reasons why you're not the right person for the job? If you can relate to any of these questions, then this passage that we are looking at this morning is definitely for you. I know it's for me for sure. I can relate to all of them questions. This morning, as we are beginning our three-week sermon series called When God Calls, it's actually 2 weeks, then we'll take a break. So we'll do the Call of Moses this week, Call of Abraham next week, and then we'll do an Advent series, and we'll do the Call of Samuel between Christmas and New Year. So I think there's no better place to start this series than one of the most famous calling stories in all of Scripture, the Call of Moses at the burning bush. It's also the same passage that God used to call me back to the Church of Scotland in 2019, so hopefully by the end of this sermon, you'll all have a wee bit more of my story as well. So the context of what Ruth just read for us this morning is that Moses is now 80 years old. He's tending to the flock of his father-in-law Jethro in the wilderness, and he's leading the sheep to the far side of the desert near Mount Sinai, which the text calls the Holy Mountain. And you know, this is a long, long way from where Moses thought his life would take him. You see, Moses grew up in privilege and power, real privilege and real power. He was raised in Pharaoh's palace. He had the finest education that Egypt could offer. Moses had status and influence. He was actually somebody. But then, Moses had tried to deliver his people in his own terms and in his own strength, and it was a complete and utter disaster. That came in Exodus chapter 2, when we see that Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, and in his anger, Moses killed the Egyptian. When this became known, Moses had to flee for his life, running away to Midian, where he became a shepherd. Just think about that for a moment. A man who grew up in such privilege was now in the wilderness. The man who had absolutely everything in life now had absolutely nothing. And you know, a shepherd in those days was a very low job, very low thought of. And Moses didn't even have his own sheep. They were his father-in-law's sheep that he was looking after. But what is so important for us to understand this morning is that those 40 years in the wilderness, they weren't wasted years for Moses. In fact, they were the opposite of wasted years. God was doing something in Moses that could not be done in the palace. In the wilderness, Moses was learning that he was absolutely nothing, so that he could learn that God was everything. Moses was being stripped of all his self-confidence and self-reliance. He was being broken so that he would be ready to trust completely in God. You see, when Moses tried to deliver the Israelites at age 40, he was acting on his own strength, with his own credentials. But that is not God's way. God doesn't need our impressive CVs or our worldly credentials. In fact, God often strips us of these things so that when he uses us, it's absolutely clear that the power is from him and not from ourselves. It always fascinates me when I go to do a funeral visit. And, you know, families are very organized. Sometimes they're very organized. And they say, it's okay, I've done all the stuff you need for the eulogy, the tribute. And then they hand you lots and lots of information. But it just reads like somebody's LinkedIn profile or their CV. You know, and I'm not saying that's important. It is important because you can weave somebody's story through that stuff. But I want to know what difference this person's made in somebody's life. I want to know the impact they've had. I want to know their personality, the stories that make them who they are. And as I say, sometimes it just looks like, you know, it looks like, and it's tremendous information, and it's great to see folks' achievements and what they've done in their life. It really is. But, you know, that is not who we are. And you notice God meets Moses not in the palace, not in the temple, not in the city, but in the wilderness. God calls Moses in the most unlikely of place. And you know, if any of us are here this morning, feel like we're in a wilderness season, I'm sure many of us are, we can take heart, because the wilderness is often where God does his deepest work. So Moses sees this unbelievable sight, a bush that's burning, but not being consumed. So we read in verse 3, he says, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? You know, I love Moses' curiosity here. He stops. He pays attention. And when the Lord sees that Moses has turned to look aside, God calls him from the bush. He says, Moses, Moses. And Moses responds, here I am. Now watch what happens next. It says in verse 5, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. And verse 6 says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You know, this is such an important moment. Moses is encountering here the living God. The ground is holy. because God is present. And we know that wherever God is, the place becomes sacred. And always trying, I was told by a previous minister before, you know, whenever you go and visit someone, wherever you are in ministry, that is holy ground. I am there because God is there, and treat it as such. And it's such an important reminder, wherever God is, that is holy ground. And see, God's command here says, take off your sandals. This is an act of reverence, of humility, of recognizing who you're standing before. Moses is effectively being told, you're not approaching me casually. You're not approaching me as an equal. You're approaching the holy God, the creator of heaven and earth. And the text tells us that Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. This is a holy fear, a reverent fear that we should all have at times. And here's what I want us to see. Before God commissions Moses, before he gives him this assignment, he reveals who he is. He says, I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, God is saying, I am the covenant-keeping God. I am the God who makes promises and keeps them. I am the God who has been faithful for many generations and will continue to be faithful. This is so important because when God calls, it's all about who he is, nothing about who we are. Now look at verses 7 and 8. God says to Moses, the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and bring them out to a land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That does sound like a good land, doesn't it? So God has seen, God has heard, God knows, God cares, and God is the one who comes down. And you know, that's it right there in Exodus 3, that God sees our suffering. He hears our cries. He knows our pain. And he does not remain distant, never remain distant. He comes down to rescue us. The Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves, they were oppressed, they were suffering, and they were crying out for deliverance. And God heard their cries and he was moved to action. He was about to deliver them from their bondage and bring them into the promised land. But we know that this is a picture of something far greater. We know that every human being is born in spiritual bondage. We are slaves to sin. We are oppressed by the enemy. We are suffering under the weight of guilt, shame, and death. And we cry out for deliverance. And what does God do? He comes down. He comes down himself. In Exodus, God came down to deliver Israel from physical bondage. But in the gospel, God came down in the person of Jesus Christ to deliver us from our spiritual bondage. Jesus is the fulfillment of what we see here in Exodus 3. God saw our suffering under sin. He heard us and he knew our desperate need for him. And he came down in Jesus Christ to rescue us, to deliver us, to bring us out the kingdom of darkness and into his glorious light. The exodus from Egypt is wonderful, but you know, it's just a shadow of the greater exodus accomplished at the cross. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, he accomplished the ultimate deliverance. He set us free from sin, from death, from judgment, from Satan's power. Then we come to the commission in verse 10. In verse 10, God says, so go now, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And how does God respond? How does Moses respond? Verse 11 says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I just love Moses' honesty here. Who am I? After 40 years in the wilderness, looking after somebody else's sheep, Moses has lost all confidence. He's actually so aware of his own weaknesses. He knows he's not qualified for this assignment. He's got no credentials and absolutely no resources. And you know what? Moses is absolutely right. He is a nobody, and he is unqualified for the task that God's calling him to do. But here's the beautiful truth. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those that he calls. We used to hear that a lot through my whole training for ministry. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those that he calls. And look at God's response in verse 12. He says, I will be with you. That's it. That is the answer. He doesn't say, Moses, you're more capable than you think. Or Moses, I've saw your potential. God simply says, I will be with you. And that's everything. When God calls us, the issue is never our strength, but it's his presence. Then God then says to Moses, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. I love that. That's God saying, in other words, he's saying to Moses, you are going to succeed in this mission because I am with you. And you'll know I was with you when you're standing right back here at this mountain worshipping me with all of the people that you've led out of Egypt. That is what God does. He calls us to tasks that are well beyond what we can do. Jobs that are absolutely impossible in our own strength. So that when we do them, it's clear that he did it. And then we can give him all the glory. And this is how I know that God has called me to do what I'm doing right now. This calling that I have did not come from my own ambition or my own planning. Far from it. For a long time, I resisted it. I made excuses. I listed all of my weaknesses and why God would call somebody like me to ministry. I had a minister, a Church of Scotland minister, when I worked with people coming out of prison, who did plant the seed with me and said, I think God might be calling you to ministry. Ministry. I wasn't even a member of the Church of Scotland. I thought it was the craziest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And the church I was in, I was being really used in that church. My whole life was in that church. My mum and dad had came to faith in that church. My son was in the church's school. I never had a friend outside of that church. So why would God call me away from that church? So I just kind of laughed it off. And then one of our guys, Thomas, who I was working with, coming out of prison, died very suddenly. He was 42. And I was asked to take Thomas's funeral. And I had so many doubts about doing that funeral because I knew Thomas was well known locally in Inverclyde. And there was all these ministers and church leaders who were going to be there, far more qualified, far more capable of doing Thomas's funeral than I ever would have been. So I went back to the minister and he said, let's pray about it. So we prayed that everything would go all right. That night I went to a Bible study in my own church that I was in, and the study was on Moses being commissioned. And every excuse that I had given to God was the exact same excuse that Moses had given. And I just knew the funeral was going to go well, and it did. And then I went back to the minister and I said, if God was calling someone like me to ministry, how would I know? And he said, it'll be absolutely clear, Chris. I can be sure it'll be clear in your life, because it'll have to be to call you away from what you're doing. My mum then came home with a Greenock Telegraph, shared this story a lot, that we don't buy the Telegraph because it's just full of nonsense, but she threw it at me and she said, there's a job in there, pastoral assistant job with the Church of Scotland. I loved my job I was in, by the way. I loved my church I was in, so I wasn't looking for another job. But what I did was I thought, I'm going to look it up on online. And you know, everything that church were looking for, I absolutely hit them all, and more. And I just knew that it was for me. I applied for it, still didn't want it, by the way. I applied for it, pleading with God to leave me where I was, because my life was there. And the weekend before my interview was a Monday morning, and the weekend before my interview, I was having all those same doubts, all the same stuff. I'm not qualified. And I went to church that Sunday, and the minister was preaching on this passage, Moses being commissioned. And I just absolutely knew I was going to get the job. And even when I went for the job, I mean, Ella will be able to relate to this. The minister I worked with, Archie, Archie and Christine were here a few weeks ago. Archie said after, when he phoned me to offer the job, he said, what we really valued was your honesty. You were really honest. Now, the reason I was honest was I didn't want the job. Honestly, I was trying to talk myself out of the job at the interview because I just didn't want it because my whole life was there. And that's what he said, we loved your honesty. And I tell you what a tremendous call it was. You know, I had the tremendous 3 years working there. God was using us. We were oh, I was called to such a brilliant life. And you know, that's what God's answer is. When we say, you know, it's, you know, I can't speak, what, they'll not listen to me. God's answer is always the same. It's about me. It's not about you. I will give you the words. You're speaking on my authority. And you know, this is true for many of us. Whatever God is calling us to do, whether it's serving in ministry, sharing the gospel with a friend, using our gifts in the church, or being faithful witnesses in our workplaces, the key is always God's presence. He says, I will be with you. But you know, Moses still has doubts there. Verse 13, he says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? You know, that's actually a really deep question there from Moses. Moses is saying to God, who are you? Really, who are you? What's your character? What's your nature? How can I explain you to people? And God gives one of the most important answers in the whole of the Bible, the whole of Scripture. We read here, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. I am who I am. In Hebrew, this is the name Yahweh, the covenant name of God. It means I am the self-existent one. I am the eternal one. I am the one who needs nothing and who has everything. I am the source of all life, all power. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. God is saying to Moses, I am not defined by anything outside of myself. I don't depend on anyone or anything. I simply am. And then God adds in verse 15, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you. God is connecting his eternal, self-existing nature with his covenant faithfulness. I am has been faithful to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will be faithful to you. It's a great reminder to Moses. He has been faithful, and he's promising to be faithful to him. And this is where it becomes really powerful for us. Because you remember Jesus said in the Gospel of John, when the religious leaders were challenging him, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. And what did they do? They picked up stones to try and kill him. Because they knew exactly what Jesus was claiming. He was claiming to be Yahweh, the great I am. And you know, Jesus was claiming to be the great I am because Jesus is the great I am, who came down in human flesh. And when Jesus went to the cross, he was accomplishing the ultimate deliverance. He was achieving the ultimate deliverance for us. And you know, the glorious truth of the gospel is this, that the same God who said to Moses, I will be with you, says to everyone who trusts in Jesus, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The presence of God that Moses experienced at the burning bush is now available to every believer through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. This passage is ultimately about God's great rescue plan. That God saw his suffering, the people suffering, he heard their cries, and he came down to deliver them. And he chose an unlikely, insecure man named Moses to be the channel of that deliverance. And you know, just as God called Moses, despite his insecurities, God calls you and he calls me, despite ours. God doesn't call us because we're qualified. God calls us because he is gracious. The question is, will we respond to his call? Will we say like Moses, here I am? Will we trust that his presence is enough and that his power is sufficient and his promise is absolutely sure? You know, some of us here this morning might be hearing God's call. We might be full of doubts and fears. We're all full of that as humans. Maybe we are thinking of all the reasons why we cannot possibly do what God is asking us to do. We might be remembering our past failures. But you know, God is saying to us what he said to Moses, I will be with you. And you know, that's the only qualification that we ever need. The same God who said, I am at the burning bush, says to us this morning at Craig Owl Church, come to me, trust in me, I will save you, I will be with you, and I promise I'll never leave you. And this morning I want us to know that the call of Moses at the burning bush changed absolutely everything. Moses went from being a shepherd in the wilderness to being the deliverer of God's people. He went from feeling insecure and not up for the job to being used mightily by God. And you know, the same is for us, same is true for us. When God calls us, he empowers us. And I stand before you today as living proof of that. I didn't seek this call to be a minister in the Church of Scotland. I resisted it at every possible turn. I made excuses, like you've heard earlier on. I listed all my reasons why God would never call somebody like me to ministry. I used to say, you know that term imposter syndrome? We've all heard of that. Well, a lot of people suffer from that. I used to say I've got the next level up. Imposter syndrome is you feel you don't know what you're doing. I actually don't know what I'm doing. I've got the next step up where I actually don't know what I'm doing. But that's all right, because God does. But you know, he is always persistent in his call. And you know, when I finally surrendered and I said, yes, Lord, here I am, he opened doors, so many doors that I never imagined possible. And then he brought me here to Craig Owl Church, where I wake up every single day and I thank God for calling me here, knowing that what I am doing now is absolutely what he wants me to do. And he wants to do all of that in our lives. He may be calling us, he calls us all individually. It might be something really big, it might be something small, but you know, whatever it is, it's important to him. And he wants us to trust him enough just to say yes. So let us again listen to his call and then say, here I am, Lord, send me. And may the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God who is I am, the God who came down in Jesus Christ to deliver us, may he continue to call us. May he continue to equip us and use us mightily for his glory. And may we all be ready and open for that call that he places on each of our lives. May we all know that God will give to us exactly what we need for that call. And most of all, may the call of God, one that we embrace, so that the love of Christ can be shared with a world that would be transformed if they truly knew the reason for living. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And praise God that he calls us to share that with others. Amen. Well, let us again pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are the great I am, the God who calls us and goes with us. And Lord, this morning we want to respond. We want to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Holy Spirit, help us to apply this message to our lives. When you are calling us, would you give us the courage to step out in faith? When we feel not worthy for the job, would you remind us that your presence is all that we need? And when we've made excuses, would you break through our fears? Lord, we surrender our doubts and our insecurities, and we lay them all at the foot of your cross. We choose to trust you and to choose that you qualify those that you call. So Lord, would you speak to us throughout this week? Would you show to us what you're calling us to do and give us bold faith to obey? All this we pray in the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We will continue our worship now as we sing together our next hymn, Just As I Am.